This program is intended for a print-impaired audience and is brought to you by Audio Journal. Welcome to Community News, a program sponsored in part by the Lions Club of Rutland, and thanks to the Memorial Foundation for the Blind and the Massachusetts Commission for the Blind for their ongoing support. It's Friday, it's July 10th, and in the next half hour, we will be bringing you news from the Landmark. This is Paul Nato. Thank you so much for supporting Audio Journal, and thank you so much for listening to The Landmark. Thank you. Our first story this week comes from Ken Cleveland, Landmark correspondent, and it's kind of sad. It has to do with the town of Rutland and the fact that they've had to turn off their Facebook comments. Rutland's official Facebook page will be providing just the facts, ma'am, to misquote Joe Friday. With the select board approving a social media policy at its June 22nd meeting, debate on the town's social media page will have to shift to other venues. The big change there is that policy notes that we will be turning off comments for any of our social media channels, meaning the public would not be allowed to have interactions on our Facebook page, Chair Sheila Dibson. It has nothing to do with any of the private groups that are out there that might screenshot what we post, but in the absence of anyone in any form of a public information officer, we just cannot monitor that comments, those comments, Dibbs said. It has nothing to do with any of the private groups, even in the absence of a reduction in staff. I think it makes sense in that we don't have a dedicated communication person. Select Board member Leah Whiteman said, the last few months have shown us that it was very quickly devolves into not a great space, and it's not fair to our employees, especially to have to look at that and manage that and have that in the back of their minds. And now going forward with the reduction in staff and hours, that's just not the capacity to do it. I think there's value to using it as an information sharing aspect, but not a question generating or dialogue space, Whiteman said. The policy would also apply to other committees and appointed by the select board, but not to elected boards. Though it was noted, those boards are generally not maintaining social media sites. If things turn out to not work the way we wanted them to work, obviously we can revisit this, Dibbs said. Members noted questions can be directed to appropriate town staff through phone or email with contacts listed on the town's website. Well, that's the world we live in. A second story from Ken Cleveland this morning. Rutland staff gather for farewells. June 30th at the end of the 2026 fiscal year, and many jobs may have been a sober day for town employees, but many made the best of it despite the heat gathering on the town common under the shade of the gazebo. It was an ice cream social, which the social aspect was important for many who had worked together and for those leaving their jobs. Even some of those staying were to start the next day on reduced hours. Some whose hours had been severely cut had opted because of financial necessity to move on to other opportunities. We're doing our best, Tamika Murphy said. As executive assistant to town administrator Heather Butley, Murphy had been a linchpin across departments. She had served as assistant to several of the Rutland town administrators and interims between them, a constant in a changing administrator's office. I hate to leave, Murphy said, adding, it will take staff and residents time to adjust. Butler said that Murphy has institutional knowledge you can't hire. As they enjoyed chatting in the cold but quickly melting ice cream, many did not want to focus on the negative, but they acknowledged the sadness for those laid off and for those whose hours were reduced, in several cases forcing them to move to full-time positions elsewhere. Murphy, for instance, needed the income, but was able to move to a position at the dispatch office. Others took jobs out of town, though remaining in government positions, just serving residents of another town. For Harold Leeming, who had been a building commissioner, he gave up his retirement job to fully retire. Reflecting on the financial town challenges the town had faced, Letting said that Heather had walked into a bee's nest when she became the town administrator. Lori Lynn Francois works at the senior center and said that the cuts were anticipated. "I'm not in shock," she said, but added, "it is still disheartening." She opted to stay in her role despite the budget cuts. She said that the senior center helps people who often need time from staff, such as getting through procedures to get assistance. Town clerk Anita Carlson said, "Rutland is losing some really key people. More than that, the employees are such a nice, compatible group of people." Carlson expects to retire in the fall. Her consolation is that she expects the assistant town clerk, Ben Bakirian, will take the post. "Ben is going to be a really good clerk," Carlson said. In the interim, his hours have been cut back to 20 hours. He will fill those hours working at the Stone Cow Creamery. If, as Carlson expects, the town clerk's office becomes a go-to for residents needing assistance at town hall, which was once the norm, there'll be less staff to help them. She said notary services were the one thing already cut because of the time they sometimes require. The clerk's office is busy with a range of crucial duties, from overseeing elections to handling vital records and licenses from marriages to dogs. Butler, who started in Rutland in January of this year, has spent her time managing the town's increased expenses, especially line items such as health insurance, as the municipal government sees revenue that does not keep up. "We have to stabilize, then rebuild," Butler said. "Nothing in my 20-plus years in town government work has prepared me for this, for the current financial situation in Rutland." She said she had seen layoffs in the 2008 crash, but never so much. "This is such a major hit for a town this size," Butler said, noting the loss of 11 first responders in one fell swoop. Rutland lost its entire inspectional department, although Butler is hiring, but it is hard to recruit under those circumstances, she said. "We had some very talented employees in all our departments. We know that they knew that their future here would be uncertain. My object is to stabilize for the employees left behind, that they still feel valued, and we're doing everything we can to keep them," Butler said. And there's a picture of Harold Leeming serving ice cream to town clerk Anita Carlson, and employees gathered the day before many of the town employees would leave or their hours were cut. So that's the consequences that we're starting to see now from budget cuts and all that stuff. But it is sad to see people lose their jobs and have to go and make a new way in life. It's tough sometimes. Okay, we have an opinion piece, which I always like because it gives us some input and gives you an idea how people might be thinking. It's called Speak Out, a 250th evening led by community, not campaigns. It comes from Sarandi Jackson. Triple-digit temperatures kept many people indoors across central Mass. Yet, on the evening of July 2nd, nearly 200 people gathered anyway, not for a campaign rally or a protest, but to celebrate America's 200th anniversary as neighbors. For a few hours, politics gave way to patriotism. The community celebration organized by Holden Stephanie Mulroy was also a candidate for state representative, was exactly what so many Americans say they missed, an evening centered not on political parties or campaigns. They had come together on shared sacrifices and a shared history
in a shared future.
Grimm was thoughtful. Revolutionary War reenactors fired a ceremonial volley that echoed across the field, offering a powerful reminder that the freedoms we enjoy were purchased at a tremendous cost. Members of the Sons of the American Revolution delivered John Daly's 1917 Toast to the Flag. Founding fathers in full colonial dress brought the Declaration of Independence to life, reminding the audience that its words were once considered an act of treason. Then came the evening's most moving moment, as Sheriff Lou Evangelistis read the names of the local service members who gave their lives in defense of our country. Candles were lit in their memory. Families stood quietly in the summer heat. Veterans bowed their heads. Children watched in respectful silence. For a few minutes, there were no Republicans or Democrats. There were simply Americans remembering those who never came home. That wasn't just history. It was a mirror. Throughout the evening, one message remained remarkably consistent. As Mulroy said, tonight isn't about politics. It isn't about what divides us. It's about what brings us together. But one evening was simply Americans, neighbors, families, veterans, children, friends, people who love our communities and are grateful for the blessings we share. In the crowd, now this is where you get your politicians showing up. In the crowd, there was State Senator Peter Durant, who stood alongside Sheriff Lou Evangelistis, local selectman Linda Long-Belil, finance committee member Stephanie Adams. Veterans, families, and residents, regardless of political affiliation, everyone had come to the same for the same reason, to celebrate the birth of our nation. One of the evening's remarks seemed especially fitting. 250 years ago, the men whose words you'll hear tonight weren't famous figures in history books. They were ordinary people who made extraordinary choices. They debated, they disagreed, but when history called, they found something greater than their differences. They found a common purpose. The lesson feels every bit as relevant today as it did in 1776. We often act as though disagreement itself is the problem. It isn't. Our founders disagreed passionately. They argued, compromised, and they challenged one another. What made them remarkable wasn't unanimous agreement. It was their willingness to place the future of the country above their individual differences. You listening, Mr. Trump? Unfortunately, not everyone honored that spirit. During the ceremony, another political group interrupted the program, drawing attention from the community celebration. It was disappointing, not because people should refrain from participating in civil life, but because there is a time and a place for campaigning. A ceremony honoring our nation's founding and remembering those who gave their lives in its defense is not that. Ironically, the interruption only reinforced the evening's central message. As Mulroy reminded those gathered, as we celebrate 250 years of this great American experiment, I hope tonight reminds us that we have far more in common than we sometimes remember. We all want safe communities. We all want opportunities for our children. We all want freedom to live, worship, speak, and pursue our dreams. Those aren't Republican or Democratic values. They are American values. As our nation celebrates its 250th birthday, we have countless opportunities to choose how we engage with one another. We can continue rewarding outrage and division, or we can rediscover the civic spirit that has carried the challenge through its greatest challenges, carried this country through its greatest challenges. That work will not begin in Washington. It begins in town commons, school auditoriums, Memorial Day ceremonies, 4th of July celebrations, and evenings like this one, where neighbors chose to gather, not because they agree on everything, but because they agree that America is still worth celebrating. On July 2nd, Holden offered a glimpse of what that looks like, and that is a lesson well worth remembering. I'd just like to stop right here and remind everybody that we're listening to the audio journal. And this program is called Community News, the Landmark. And it has to do with all the news in the Wachusett area region. And thank you for supporting Audio Journal. Thank you. Rutland, one family did an amazing job at decorating their house. The Novak family's home on Marjorie Lane decked out for the inaugural Stars, Stripes, and Front Porch Lights contest. And the picture displayed came from Ed Novak. And this story comes from Danielle Ray. So the story is Patriot Pride on display. More than a dozen homes were featured in the town's inaugural Stars, Stripes, and Front Porch Lights decorating contest. And the winners will be announced this week. The Rutland Business Association and Discover Rutland Mass, Facebook.com, Discover Rutland Mass, organized New Town Tradition, which showcased the patriotic pride of Rutland residents who went all out in red, white, and blue decor. Several neighboring businesses generously stepped up to sponsor the event, including Morosky Barbecue, Alpaca Lips Farm, Fluffin' Awesome Mutt's Dog Grooming and Spa, and Catherine Kerning Selling Central Mass, to name just a few. Locals were encouraged to load up their family, turn on their summer playlist, take a ride through town to view the entries, and vote on their favorite. Every home represents a family, a neighbor, and a little piece of what makes the community so special. Discover Rutland Mass posted in its Facebook page, along with the map, route, and voting instructions. This contest was never just about decorations. It's about community, tradition, and finding new ways to come together. Now, Ed Novak and his wife, Susan, and their two children, Alexis and son, Brent, have lived in town since 2007. Since moving here, I've had the honor in almost every Memorial Day and 4th of July parade, only missing a few while deployed with the military, said Ed, who is proudly serving as a colonel in the Massachusetts Army National Guard. He is also an active member of the American Legion Post 310 in town. When they heard about the Stars, Stripes, and Front Porch Lights contest, he and his family did not hesitate to jump in as participants and went all out with their Marjorie Lane home. We saw it as an opportunity to celebrate our country and keep our community patriotic spirit alive, especially after this year's parade and fireworks were canceled, Ed said. I also wanted to honor the service and sacrifice of my fellow veterans and all those who have defended our freedoms. Decorating our home with more than 250 American flags and thousands of lights has been a meaningful way for my family to celebrate America's 250th anniversary, and it's been especially rewarding to see so many neighbors stop by and to enjoy the display. So, next week, hopefully we find out who won. And, new traditions are tough to take because it's a change and some people don't find that interesting, but you know, it unites a town and it keeps people thinking about new ways to enjoy their community. So have fun with it. Campus news this week. Emmanuel College awarded more than 380 degrees to the class of 2026 at the college's 104th commencement on May 9. The following local students received degrees. Gemma Cosgrove of Holden received a Bachelor of Arts in Arts Therapy. Bridget Curtin of Rutland received a Bachelor of Arts double major, Liberal Studies in Elementary Education, summa cum laude. And Christian Pecoro of Rutland received a Bachelor of Arts double major, History and Secondary Education, summa cum laude. Marquette University in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, this spring, Bella Philbin of Sterling graduated from Marquette at the University in Milwaukee. Philbin earned a Bachelor of Science degree in nursing. Philbin was one of 3,166 students to graduate from Marquette in May. Colgate University graduate Samantha Johnson of Holden is a graduate of the Colgate University class of 2026. Johnson, a graduate of Wachusett Regional High School, majored in educational studies and sociology. Johnson received the Bachelor of Arts degree, magna cum laude, at the Colgate's 205th commencement held on May 17th. Miami University president's list, and this is in Oxford, Ohio, not Miami, Florida, Avery Heppenstall of Rutland was named to the Miami University Spring 2026 president's list. Miami University students ranked in the top 3% of undergraduate students with each division for the spring 2026 semester have been named to the president's list, recognizing their academic excellence. In Plymouth, New Hampshire, Craig Martin of Sterling, an art and design major, has been named to the Plymouth State University's president's list for the spring of 2026. To be named to the list, he had to achieve a grade point average of 3.70 or better for the semester, and he must have completed 12 credit hours during a semester, at least 9 of those which must confer grade points. At the time the list are finalized, Martin is majoring in art and design at Plymouth State. Now, Juliana Dolat, D-O-L-A-T, of Holden, has a climate studies major, has been named to the Plymouth State University's dean list for the spring 2026 semester. Now, to be named to that list, the student must achieve a grade point average between 3.5 and 3.69 for the semester to be a matriculated student with at least 12 credits, at least 9 of which must confer grade points at the time the list is finalized. At the University of Rhode Island in Kingston, the University of Rhode Island is pleased to announce that several area students have been named to its spring 2026 president's list. Among them, Emma Devlin, Sarah Jaslowicz, and Sophia Mellon of Holden, Raymond Ashu Ansah and Brianna Ward of Rutland, and Elisa Kruger from Sterling. Wow. Also, University of Rhode Island is pleased to announce that several area students have been named to its spring's dean's list. Among those were Anya Mochica and Maya Santana of Holden, and Addison Brooks, Haley Fallon, Sophia Landio, and Grace Maria of Rutland. To be included on the dean's list is quite an accomplishment, and congratulations to all of those people. Clark University announces local students named to the spring 2026 dean's list. First honors were John P. Kalinowski, John T. Kukonis, Teddy James, Benoit Izzy, Aaron Schiller, and Jacqueline E. Stone of Holden, Dominic S. Molinari of Rutland, and Jason Iafrati and Xander M. Haddock of Sterling. Second honors, Romisa Ashad of Holden and Catherine C. Zanio of Sterling. Now, those students must have a GPA of 3.8 or above for first honors, or a GPA between 3.50 and 3.79 for second honors. So a lot of kids worked very hard to get to where they want to be in their lives, and they put the work in and they have the discipline, and it's great to see them rewarded for that. Friday night in Holden, there is going to be the Drum and Strums at the Holden Bandstand. This is that program where you can sign up to play some drums, or you can sign up to play ukulele. Sounds like a lot of fun, and if they can get a big crowd together, that would be fantastic. Now, once again, it's Monday, July 13th. It's going to be from 6 to 8 p.m., and it's on the Senior Center lawn. And if you can make it, and hopefully it's not too hot to be outside and all that stuff, that sounds like fun to me. And that's going to bring us to the end of this week's program. And as always, thank you so much for listening to Audio Journal. And thank you for supporting it. And thank you for supporting the community landmark. And if you've got some big day coming up this week, make the most of it. And I'd like to just give a quick shout out. My daughter Sierra's birthday is tomorrow, and I just hope she has the best day ever and she gets to do some fun things. So thank you for listening. This is Paul Nato, and we always read our ending, except for if we forget. This community news program is a production of Audio Journal, a proud member of the Massachusetts Audio Information Network. If you would like a hard copy of our program schedule, either in large print or Braille, please call 508-797-1117. Once again, that's 508-797-1117. Archived editions of this program are available on our website, audiojournal.org, or you can go to the Audio Journal app on your iPhone, iPad, or your Android device. I'm Paul Nato. Thank you for listening, and stay safe, have some fun, and enjoy the summer. It's moving right along. Thank you.
WICN Public Radio is a proud partner of Audio Journal. Audio Journal provides news, information, and entertainment to visually and print-impaired residents of central Massachusetts. Audio Journal broadcasts are made possible through the use of a portion of WICN's broadcast frequency. 90.5 WICN is Worcester's only NPR affiliate and the voice of arts and culture in central Massachusetts. Visit WICN.org for more info.
This is Bird Note. Helmeted guinea fowl are sometimes kept as ornamental birds in zoos and farmyards around the world. But from Senegal to South Africa, where the birds are native, their raucous calls are a familiar sound. Helmeted guinea fowl are chicken-sized birds whose round black bodies are covered in tiny white speckles. In stark contrast, their heads are bald, blue, and adorned with a keratinous horn-like helmet on top. They're known for running about in social flocks, squawking as they go, perpetually panic-stricken about something. These are calls of alarm, warning all members of the flock that a predator approaches. In their native range, guinea fowl are favored prey of wildcats and martial eagles. Because they're also spooked by unfamiliar people, guinea fowl are often employed as burglar alarms on farms. Guinea fowl are related to chickens and pheasants, and like them, they lay a lot of eggs, up to a dozen in a nest. The chicks are cute balls of fluff that rapidly grow into gawky juveniles. Helmeted guinea fowl are easily domesticated, but they'll always remain flighty, squawky, birds in a panic. For Bird Note, I'm Michael Stein.
Hello, sports fans. Did you know that Audio Journal has a weekly one-hour program that features news and inspiring stories about disabled and visually impaired folks participating in sports at the local, national, and international level? That's AJ Sports Page. Tune in on Fridays from 5 to 6 p.m. That's AJ Sports Page, airing every Friday from 5 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Archived episodes are available on demand on our website, www.audiojournal.org. That's AJ Sports Page, a production of Audio Journal. We are a proud member of the Massachusetts Audio Information Network.